Welcome to We Are the Watchers. Tom. And Leah. Are the Watchers.
Welcome to We Are the Watchers, episode 27. Tom, hello.
27 is huge.
Yeah.
We didn't realise it was up there.
Getting up there towards our 30s.
Wow.
30s is when we'll start to get sensible.
Yep.
And then as we get closer to 40s, we'll start to have like that midlife crisis and think that we're really cool again.
Yeah, it'll go a bit wild.
Yeah, exactly. Mm. That's exactly what it's going to be. But hopefully you'll forgive us because by the time we're 50, we'll be back to normal again.
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, exactly. A lot coming up this episode. We'll be talking about some shows that will be back very soon. I've seen a couple of advertised being back. An interesting thing about streaming, not perhaps giving us everything we want.
Okay.
A really fun quiz.
Yeah.
That I don't even know how you'll go in it. I would not go well. It's a guessing quiz, basically.
Okay.
And all the shows that we've watched, because I've watched a lot. How about you?
Oh, it's been finale week this week. So
yeah.
I got a bunch of shows that have wrapped up. We'll discuss what went down.
And speaking of shows that wrapped up, we will, of course, be talking about Fear the Walking Dead and a bit of Westworldy stuff after the spoilers intro.
And Deadpool 2.
Yes, Deadpool 2. All right, let's first get into some news.
Sure.
I saw that Glow, they got a EW photo shoot.
Yes.
Which means that their season 2 is coming up very soon. Now, you watched Glow, didn't you?
It was Netflix. Watched the first episode. I didn't stick with it.
I got through it.
Yeah.
There are not many episodes.
Sure. It wasn't that I didn't enjoy it. It's too much on.
Yeah, exactly. Well, now you'll be able to watch it and then go straight into the next one.
Easy.
Season 2. So, Glow, of course, was the female wrestling show. A bit lighthearted. Dramedy, would you call it?
Sure, yeah.
More on the side of comedy, though.
Yeah.
Which was set in the 1980s, based off real life.
Yep.
I had never heard of this until I think we were talking about it in the lead up to it being released, and you sort of gave me the background. Fun, enjoyable. I think the episodes are only half hour long. I got through it really quickly, and I'm quite looking forward to season 2. I know that Orange is the New Black is coming back as well. It's that time of the year,
sure,
you see.
Yeah.
What other shows have you seen that are coming up?
Oh, look, there have been a couple that have come back this week or moved forward, and they're somewhat unusual.
Yeah.
One that I enjoy called Pool Kings. About some, backyard pool.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, not
I wasn't
pool.
Sure, yeah. I thought, are we going to get the eight ball or are we just going to have a swim?
It's this weird, I don't know, it's a weird format show in that it's one of those ones where, you know, team goes out and builds pools, but each season they follow a different company.
Right.
So it's not the same people starring the show and stuff like that.
Not a bad idea, actually.
Yeah, it's all quite inclusive.
Clever.
Yeah, and I mean, there's only so many places in Houston with good pools that you could visit, so it makes sense that they travel to different cities and cover that sort of stuff. Anyway, that's coming back. Tiny Luxury, about the people who build tiny
houses.
Homes.
Yeah.
That's stuff pretty cool. And Carbonaro Effect is coming back this week. He on the same network. He's on the same network as Impractical Jokers. He's a magician who does prank show.
I've seen it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Some of his stuff's pretty funny. You know, going into medical offices and saying, "Oh, my glass eye's playing up. I need to get it fixed," and spooning an eyeball out.
That's so gross and hilarious.
Yeah.
And reminds me of that movie from the 80s, Black Crystal, I think it was called, and the old witch would take out her eye and put it somewhere and she'd be able to spy on people and then she'd pick it up and put it back in again.
Yeah,
nightmares for kids.
Yeah, awesome.
Those 80s movies and TV shows, some of them were quite scarring.
I am still bothered by Neverending Story.
Yeah, me too. I only watched it once, never watched it again.
Oh, Dex.
I can't do it. Don't even show me a small clip. Don't even show me a photo of it.
Watching Thor Ragnarok with the Rock Man just brought back all these memories.
It was too much?
Yeah.
And how many times have you seen that movie?
Five or six.
Do you fast forward through that?
No, he's piss off ghost. He's kicking at imaginary things. I enjoy him, but his connotations.
Yeah, I understand. Mm. This was an interesting little story that I saw on BuzzFeed. They were speaking to the, you know, Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
Yes.
So the creator, John Cameron Mitchell, he says that big streaming sites like Netflix have the ability to pick up older, smaller films or TV shows or documentaries or whatever, but perhaps are not. And it means that there's that pocket of entertainment that's sort of getting lost in the netherworld, really.
Yeah.
See, he was not necessarily talking about Hedwig. He was talking about his 2006 movie called Short Bus. Now,
sure, fucking Short Bus.
I didn't see it.
Oh, my God.
Yeah? Full on?
It's a tough watch. It's a really tough watch.
Yeah, right. So you would think that Netflix probably would pass on it?
I think, look, I don't know how they'd make money back off because people would watch that and be angry.
Yeah, okay.
Like, oh, my God.
Full on movies. Yeah. But these sort of full on movies that perhaps weren't huge. Although apparently it did make a...
It did well enough. And I'm being silly. It would make money for them if they have it, but it's just, it's so outside the realms. And art house. And Netflix isn't necessarily
It's not an art house streaming service. Hulu used to be a little bit more boutique-y. Is there a space for more art housey small film streaming service?
I think there will be, in the same way that you've got the major studios that pump out stuff that's aimed at everyone, and then you've got smaller ones, especially branches off. Mm-hmm. So you've got your Fox Searchlight as part of Fox, and those the films that they're intentionally Oscar baiting, going for awards and this sort of stuff. Yep. I could see Netflix very much in this. Look, they've been trying to get into Cannes and trying to be taken seriously with their films for a few years now, and there's been a whole schmozzle with Cannes. I could very much see Netflix Searchlight or an offshoot of Netflix that's mainly focused on your more indie fare.
It would have an audience, and it would have the size of the audience that you would expect it to have.
Especially as more and more small cinemas die out, and there's less and less screens to show this
Where
content.
Else can you watch this? Well, he was sort of referencing the fact that back in the day, you had Blockbuster or some video DVD rental shops that there would be that section.
Yep.
And now that they don't exist anymore, that section's not easily available for people to search through.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you could still find it. I wouldn't be surprised if you looked for Short Bus on, Apple.
Yeah.
And it would be there on the store.
I'm sure it would be.
Yeah.
I would hate to think what Short Bus would do to my Netflix algorithm. What stuff would
okay.
be? Hey, you enjoyed Short Bus.
Here's some more really full on depressing things.
Yeah.
Well, it's a good point, and I think that because Netflix is so big, and it looks like there's lots in there in its database, and it's showing you all these different categories. And most people know if you've got Netflix, you look through the categories and you're seeing the same things over and over again. They're very good at making it look like there's a lot. When necessarily, it's sort of a quarter of perhaps what they're trying to show you. But that the algorithm with Netflix that annoys me is that you watch the first couple of minutes of something, you go, and then it keeps recommending stuff.
Sure, based around that.
It's frustrating. They should have some part of the algorithm that can tell how much of something you've seen.
Or you could mark something as, I didn't like this.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Because sometimes you just want to get through it just to see the ending. Yeah, there should be that option. No option.
No option.
Become a watcher on Facebook. Facebook.com/WeAreTheWatchers.
What other news have you been trawling through this week?
Well, this morning they've made an announcement regarding Spider-Man 2. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it has a proper title yet, but the follow-up to Spider-Man Homecoming with Tom Holland, in that Jake Gyllenhaal has been added as a character named Mysterio.
Oh, nice.
Yes, Mysterio is...
Not Rey Mysterio.
No, Rey Mysterio Jr. is a fantastic wrestler. No, Mysterio is one of Spider-Man's earliest villains, and he's often been part of the Sinister Six, which is the team-up that smashes Spidey, puts him through gauntlets and stuff.
Well, that's unfair, obviously, ganging up on a kid.
Well, that's the logic. They couldn't beat him individually, so the Doc Ock sets it up one after another and wears him down.
Yeah.
But he, I don't know which version, but anyway, Mysterio is a special effects creator for films.
Mm-hmm.
And decides to use that power to try and rob banks and this sort of stuff.
Sounds cool.
And it gets it's going to have some amazing visuals.
There's definitely room to be super creative with this character.
Yeah, like he's a guy basically, if you think someone that created the ghost tricks for Haunted Mansion or something like that.
Yeah, right.
He's that sort of guy. So he's working with smoke and mirrors, and there's always projections, and he makes Spider-Man think there's 100-foot-tall giant demons smashing around the city.
With his mind.
Yes. So I think Gyllenhaal's a great match for that. They've also said that Michael Keaton will be back as the Vulture.
Fantastic.
So last we saw of him, he was in jail and refusing to give up Spider-Man's identity.
The last I saw of the actor...
Michael Keaton.
Yeah, he was getting some sort of honorary doctorate. And the last, the very last part of his speech was, and I got a couple of words for you, I'm Batman. Yeah, and everybody just cheered. Yeah.
Awesome.
So I love the fact that there's a bit of a crossover going on there.
Mm-hmm.
So when is that slated? Is that next year or later on this year?
2019, yeah. Okay. Later next year.
That's all right.
Yes.
Just gives you time to get excited.
That's right. I think next year we've got Captain Marvel, Avengers 4, and then Spider-Man 2.
In that order?
I believe so.
That would make sense because they need to introduce Captain Marvel.
That's right. And she introduced her before Avengers 4,
yep.
And that's the one that's going to be set in the 90s.
Love it.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Matt, there's going to be so many great references.
So Clark Gregg, who was Agent Coulson in a lot of the earlier films, and he's been off in S.H.I.E.L.D. He's been interviewed because of what happened on S.H.I.E.L.D. this week. We'll talk about that later.
Okay.
But he was talking about how he's already off filming Captain Marvel. And in the same way that the Guardians of the Galaxy films had those amazing 70s soundtracks, this one, they've got a 90s soundtrack. So I cannot wait to see what things... Like, she's going to have an Alanis Morissette song.
Oh,
as long
as
it's going to be something with Jack Littlepill.
There's got to be Insane in the Membrane.
It's got to be Hole.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
You think...
This Malibu, maybe?
Maybe some L7.
L7.
I'm trying to think of, you know, Four Non Blondes. What are the tough Riot Girl songs of the 90s that are powerful?
Do you remember that song, Uh-Oh, We're in Trouble?
Something's come along and it's burst our bubble.
Yeah, something like that could be in there and sort of a comedy part of the film, perhaps towards the beginning.
Maybe we'll get some Macarena.
One would hope so.
Yeah. So I think there's a lot of different directions they can go there. Whether it's, you know, there's got to be a bit of grunge in the mix. Maybe she'll pick sides between Tupac and Biggie.
Whoa.
Mm-hmm.
That's big time.
Maybe Pearl Jam will pop up.
Coolio. Yeah. He could be a gangster's paradise.
Yeah. He's in the Daredevil movie, the old one with Ben Affleck.
Did he still have those sort of little braids?
Well, he wasn't in the theatrical release much, but in the director's cut,
nice.
He gets a lot more in that. Yeah, it's good.
I feel like for me, he's the kind of person where if he changed his hairdo, I wouldn't recognize him.
No, or wore a hat.
Yeah, he could walk past me.
He could wear
maybe he already has
colander. That could be a good look for him.
So cool.
Mm.
That would be amazing. So it's interesting that there's quite a lot of things getting released for so far off. And I know that you have to for these sort of Marvel films. And Star Wars do it as well.
Yeah.
But it just, I think because they say this is the order, there's not that sort of outrage that's so far in the future.
Yeah. Well, we're in an unusual spot at the moment because they haven't announced things past Avengers 4, whereas normally, you know, every other year we've known what's coming for 2 to 3 years after that, sometimes even longer.
Yeah.
Because they've used Comic-Con as the platform to announce Phase 2, Phase 3, whatever it is, whereas they've said after the end of Phase 3, then they'll look to announce more. They're quite open. They've got plans worked out through about 2025.
Jeez.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Mm-hmm.
They're definitely going to get their money's worth out of the superhero craze.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Disney made their money back for buying Marvel so quickly.
Money well spent.
Mm-hmm.
Disney's a good business.
Mm-hmm.
They understand. What other news have you found?
It's only a small thing, but it matters to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's no Fear the Walking Dead next week.
No, which surprised me. How many episodes have we gone through? We kind of gone through 8.
5? No, it's because it's Memorial Day weekend next weekend.
Oh, right.
So public holiday in the States.
That explains it. It's going to be a quiet week next week for me. However, Westworld still comes out the same day.
Yes, and I've checked Westworld is still definitely happening.
Fantastic.
It's going to be a quiet week all around because so many of the shows wrap up this week.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be a bit of a quiet period as May finishes and then June ramp up with the winter programming.
Very well for them, summer.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm the voiceover guy, and I've got no pants on.
I've just been watching a whole heap of different stuff.
Like what? Lay some on us.
All right. So I started off thinking, I'm just going to see what's on documentary sort of style SBS On Demand. And
sure.
I found Untold Australia. They've been going through a few of them. And there was one that was about rabbis out in the bush. I thought, oh, that one's interesting. But then I got sidetracked by the name of one called Indian Wedding Race. And I went, hello, what is this about? This sounds cool.
That's a lot of words that you wouldn't expect together.
But it makes sense. So they basically are following two Aussie Indians.
Yes.
If I can. Yeah, that makes sense. And they're both of them are in Melbourne. And they're 29, one guy, one girl. And by the time you hit 30, the guy actually said, by the time you hit 30, you consider damaged goods. So you've got to get married before you're 30. And he didn't have as much, in fact, he didn't have any success. But Delvinda was the girl, and I loved her immediately. She was hilarious. She was awesome. And her dad, Gil, was amazing. He was a Sikh, and he just wanted her to marry a guy that wore a turban. And she's like, no, I just want to marry someone that I love. And they went on to different wedding, marriage and matchmaking sites, and she she ended up with a guy that she met on Tinder.
Nice.
Yeah, and it worked out, and they had the whole wedding and everything, and it was just really fun. And it, she made this amazing point halfway through. She was over in India just getting some things ready for the wedding, because the wedding was going to be back in Melbourne.
Okay.
And she tried to argue with someone at a shop over there. I said, get out, you're a foreigner, get out. And she said, in Australia, people say, where are you from? And I say, I'm Australian. And they said, no, but where are you from? Well, I'm Indian, but I'm Australian.
Sure.
But over in India, they consider her a foreigner. And she said, I feel like I don't fit in either places. So I guess for her, family and community were a bit big thing. But her and her dad just had the most awesome relationship, and it really carried the episode.
Yeah.
They were funny. They were loving towards each other. And when he saw his daughter go through a particular part of the ceremony, wedding ceremony, which basically meant that she was part of her husband's family now.
Yeah.
Gil was a bit emotional and teary, and he just was like, oh, he's so cool. A lovely show. And there were, like I said, there was one about rabbis out in the bush, and also Lebanese beauty queens. All Australians, all Aussies.
Awesome.
Definitely worth watching. And like I said, they're on SBS On Demand, and a nice little documentary. I think it was about 40 minutes long, something like that. Totally doable. Trying to watch different stuff, you see.
Nice. I will say that that was a swerve with the name.
When
you I thought you were going to be like, it's an amazing race of
or
newlyweds.
A Mario race. They were all driving around trying to. No, it was
race
the race to
the
get
clock.
Married. Exactly. She did it too. She just did it.
Winner, winner.
Yeah, chicken dinner on Tinder. What did you watch?
I checked out a new show called Psyjinx.
Psyjinx?
Yeah, like hijinks, but with science.
I see what's happened.
Uh-huh. It's Johnny Galecki from Roseanne and now The Big Bang Theory.
Yeah.
So it's a hidden camera prank show involving science tricks, science stuff.
He obviously plays himself, like he's the host?
He's the host.
Okay.
So he has a team of scientists and actors that are doing the pranks, pranking
the
people.
Pranking.
So much pranking on people. And he hosts the in-between bit. And it all looks really good-natured. It's hosted at, you know, they film it at, I'm not sure which, but some college in the States. And he gets the science faculty students to come in and sit on stage in the background and everything like that. And it feels like a really good communal effort.
Yeah.
And they're not making people look dumb too much, which
that's
is
good.
Always a risky area with, you know, I like a good prank show.
Yeah, yeah.
But when you...
Pranktical jokers.
Yeah, and all sorts of different ones. But when you make the audience look idiotic, it's not as
There's
funny.
A fine line for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
And they're quite good natured. But, you know, a lot of the stuff starts with real science and then they twist it to make it ridiculous to prank people. So there was one with a headset, and this is a real thing, a headset with Bluetooth connectivity and stuff to this ball that you can use electrodes through your mind and stuff like that to generate motion in the ball and make a ball roll across the table.
Ooh, cool.
So it's essentially doing like a force push,
yeah.
Star Wars style.
Feeling invincible.
Yeah, so they're doing all that. And then they get, you know, they get told, we've hooked it up with a driverless car.
Okay.
And we want to see, you know, you've displayed really good control over the ball. We want to see how you do with the car.
Yep.
Now, obviously, there's someone hidden away with a remote control driving the actual car, but this car just screams off and starts hooning around the block, and all the people are screaming like, oh, my God, there's children nearby. There's a school. What are you doing? Stop it.
No.
And they've told the person that if they take this headset off, then it will short-circuit their brain. So the person's panicking about.
That sounds like the storyline was Speed 3 or something.
It was pretty good.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's prank shows, but always with a real scientific basis. And then they go back to the studio and explain the science of it. Mm. So there's that little bit of educational
element.
I like
that. Yeah. What was it called again?
Psyjinx. Which I will admit, I downloaded it because of that name. I was like,
that's a good name.
Strong punnage.
That is nice.
Yeah.
That is really nice.
I try and give one show a week a shot because of the name.
There was one about the lawns.
Yeah, Lawn and Order.
Man, that was a good name.
And terrible show.
Really unfair.
Yeah, didn't hold up.
Imagine if you were like a professional title creator, where you created titles, like names for movies, TV shows, video games, books, all that sort of stuff. You would probably call yourself a copywriter, but that'd be an amazing job, particularly for people who can just really get people in just by the name.
And I promise you that Psyjinx was sold because of that name. Like, that's the crowning achievement of that show.
Imagine an awards night of people who came up with amazing titles. It's probably like the five same guys, you know, and girls, and they're just in there and they just keep winning, cycling through. Lawn and Order, congratulations, crappy show, great title.
Excellent nameage.
Anything else you've gotten through?
So I mentioned before, Deadpool 2 was a big one.
Yeah, this was probably the biggest release of the week.
Mm-hmm.
And, all right, I'm going to give you a scale of 1 to... No, let's do 10. Because if I do 5, I feel like there's probably need for a half in there. 1 to 10.
I'm saying somewhere high 8 point somethings, up near 9.
Solid. Nice.
Really
and solid.
Really solid.
Yeah.
Very funny.
Were you careful not to compare it too much to the original?
I'd prefer it to the original.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Why?
I don't know. It's a difficult one to sort of explain. Whereas in the first one, Deadpool knew about comic books and talked about comic books. In the second one, Deadpool's watched the Marvel movies.
Oh, right.
And watched the DC movies and just broadened his pop culture canon. And so the stuff that he's spouting throughout is ridiculous.
So the references really do pay off for audience members who have watched everything.
It's got this double layer working. Yeah. And they've been very clever with the marketing and the storyline of the film, which they did for the first, of making it a good romantic film, like making it something that's good for a date night.
Yeah.
And there are elements in there for girls, and there's a new, very powerful female character named Domino. So they've adjusted the weights of making it for everyone. But on the same token, you can watch it knowing nothing about the other movies and not having seen them and still getting some jokes.
Yeah, great.
But if you've done the homework, there's various layers. So if you've seen the Marvel movies, you're going to get one layer of joke. If you've read comics, there are points where he gets excited about meeting a particular character and references their first appearance in comic and then their major issues.
Very clever.
Really, really clever. And then there's just silly throwaway stuff like the security guard or something is fighting Deadpool and says, who are you? And he goes, I'm Batman. And, you know, there's some really
that
silly
would,
stuff.
That would have had everybody in the audience laughing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It's almost the way that places like Pixar or whatnot treat kids' films, where they definitely have to cater to the kids and they have to cater to the adults as well. So there's almost like there are two movies going on, and that's what it sounds like.
Very, very
too.
Much so. So and there's a lot of Easter eggs and stuff in there for hardcore fans that are treated as throwaway.
That's
so
really
normally
good.
An Easter egg... not so much in the Marvel, but in the X-Men films, they will put it in the background and there's a highlight on it for half a second. And if you get it, great. If you don't, it doesn't matter. Whereas this, there's some really deep cut stuff in there and it's shoved to the front, but then made fun of. And it's not making fun of nerds for loving this stuff, but just highlighting how silly some of it is.
It's almost encouraging you to laugh at yourself and the culture surrounding you.
And there's just a bunch of new characters. So Cable is in the mix, and that's Josh Brolin.
Yep.
And they make
He's
a joke.
He's had a big year.
There are several jokes about his big year and you know, being called Thanos and this sort of stuff. Domino, as I mentioned, the She's
Afro,
awesome.
Yeah? She's yeah. got an amazing Afro. I don't know if you have watched the Netflix show Love. She is in yep. two of the episodes, I think, of that. I recognize
her name is Zazie, something around there. Her character is awesome. She has luck-based powers, which Deadpool will argue is not a power. It's just a thing.
Sounds like a Deadpool thing to
yeah,
say.
Yeah. Like, there's a whole argument of how do you display luck powers on screen, interestingly. Well, they find a way.
Fantastic.
That's awesome. Yeah. And then the one that got me so excited was a little, well, not so little anymore, but Julian Dennison from NZ, boy from Hunt for the Wilder People.
Yes. Now, he's been doing a bit of the publicity and promotion for it. I know he's been interviewed on a few different Australian radio stations in the lead up, and he was very funny.
He is in so much more of the film than the advertising's led you to believe.
Really?
Yeah, he has a really big role in the
Amazing.
Film. And he plays a character named Russell, who calls himself Fire Fist. He calls himself Fire Fist. And it is really jarring hearing a proper New Zealand accent in an American film.
Look, if you go back years, nobody could do an accent outside of an American accent in an American film, unless, of course, they were doing a period piece, and even then they would have English people doing English accents, but the American leads would just still be doing American
yeah,
accents.
Yeah, or you'd get your nondescript, maybe Middle Eastern bad guy from True Lies, mid-90s film, that sort
yeah.
of stuff.
Yeah,
So it's really, like, you know, you had Thor last year with the Kiwi voice rock monster.
Yes.
And that was trippy enough, seeing a CGI character with a New Zealand accent.
Yeah.
But then having this kid, they never really address the fact why he's got a New Zealand accent. It's just. He's just playing Ricky.
Amazing.
It's Ricky with superpowers.
So good.
Right down to gangster.
And it would totally fit in the Deadpool world.
He yeah. slots in really well.
So based on your reactions of the second film, they'd be crazy not to throw a third.
Well, if you've probably seen a lot of the advertising, there are more people in the team as well. He forms an X-Force, and by the end of the film, it sets up both, well, some things for Deadpool 3, but mm-hmm. also the X-Force movie, which
Fantastic.
Is, that's what's coming first,
That'll
I believe.
Be That'll be a lot of fun.
Team-based stuff.
Yep.
Deadpool, I don't know if he'll be the leader of the team. He's not really a leader type.
He's a wisecracker.
Yeah, but he'll be the anarchy in the mix.
Yeah, of course, which is exactly what the film will need. Oh, that's exciting. So I guess that's next year?
Maybe 2 years or something.
Yeah, Deadpool was
so
a couple
Deadpool
of years,
was 2016.
It? Yeah.
The X-Force is greenlit and already pre-production. Different director, a guy named Drew Pierce, who's uh-huh. done some very cool stuff in the past.
Yep.
But no firm word on when that will roll out.
Got a watching suggestion? Email thewatcherspodcast@gmail.com.
I went back to old school Doomsday Preppers.
Sure.
I watched the first couple of episodes. I remember watching it back in the day, not religiously, but if it was on television, I go, oh yeah, let's watch this. This will be a laugh. And the reason it sort of drew my attention was because I'd seen that there was a new Xbox and PC game, I believe, State of Decay 2.
Sure, yes, I was reading about that.
Which sounds really cool and right up my alley. Basically, it's the end of the world.
Yeah.
It's a zombie apocalypse game. No real proper storyline. It's open world and it's basically survival. So you just need to survive. And you've got a community that you have to support, and they'll support you in terms of, you know, just being able to live and making sure you've got each other's backs. And it sounds really cool. It also sounds like it's got quite a few bugs, I've heard.
Okay.
But they, you know.
Fun bugs?
I think a bit of both.
Okay.
Bit of game breaking and fun bugs.
Sure.
But I know I'm never going to play it because I'm not going to buy an Xbox just for one game.
Yep.
But it did make me think, oh, well, Doomsday Preppers are a thing. Like, they're real people.
Yep.
And the way that they get themselves organized is just like, man, I almost feel bad for them if there is no apocalypse.
It's a lot of prep.
They're just so ready. Like, there were people who were not only, you know, fortifying their residence, which were always out in the middle of nowhere, but they were also not just collecting jars and tins. They were pickling their own food and putting them in jars, and they're like, this will keep for 3 years. You've just...
That sounds like spending your life waiting for a package to be delivered.
Oh, my God, yes. That is the perfect analogy.
God, it's awful.
That's what it is. And these people are real. Like, they're honest. And it's a community of Doomsday Preppers. But surely at the same time, like if you're on a doomsday prepping message board or whatever, forum, Reddit, subreddit, surely there has to be a whole heap of shadiness because you don't want people, you don't want to give everybody.
Oh, yeah.
All you. Don't, I'm not going to tell you my location.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Mask your IP.
Yeah, absolutely. VPN. Yeah. And that's their whole life. I wonder if they would love State of Decay too, or are they too busy pickling things?
I don't know. Maybe they get ideas.
There's one who was pickling eggs.
I'm trying to remember. There was a really good comic a few years ago about a community of doomsday preppers, I want to say up in Alaska, somewhere like that.
Yep.
And one day the kids all decide that the parents are dragging too much of the resources, so they rise up and kill all the parents off at night.
Whoa.
And lock down the compound and won't deal with the cops or anything like that. And so it becomes very Lord of the Flies.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Yeah, it's...
Kids trying.
It wasn't an easy read.
No, it doesn't sound like it. Interesting, though, I would imagine.
Yeah.
It would happen.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm all sort of in the zombie apocalypse there.
You're ready.
Yeah, at the moment. Mm-hmm. But having watched that, I feel quite unready. But from years of watching Walking Dead and other things like that, I think I've probably got a few months that I'm going to be okay.
Sure.
Before things get tough. And by then, hopefully, I'll be out somewhere in the sticks.
Yep.
Just need to figure out how to make fire. That's
get a lighter.
Hey, perfect.
Yeah.
A box of matches.
Can't be that hard.
I'll be fine. Yeah. What else have you been watching?
So we'll call this the finale four. I don't know why that took me so long to get out.
It's early.
Yeah, my tongue got tied.
Fair enough.
Cut my tongue last night.
How?
On my fingernail.
Is that a thing?
Like a paper cut.
That's really weird.
Like I was trimming my nails.
Yeah.
And I had something in my teeth afterwards. Got in there, dug it out, and like sliced it in the middle of my tongue. Weird.
You probably shocked yourself.
Oh, it's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And for all you wrestling fans, I enjoyed a little bit of Crimson Mask, just where your blade cut it.
Oh, yes. It was quite.
It was good.
Yeah, you felt.
Yeah. But the tongue is an amazing thing. Half an hour later, it was all sealed up again.
So now you don't even know.
Yeah, I got a little bit of a little thing on up it.
Apart from that?
Thanks, tongue.
You're going well.
That's been tongue chat. So, yeah, a bit of finale madness. Couple of shows wrapped up. First one, easy one to talk about, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes.
So, obviously, big shake-up behind the scenes there. Mm. This felt like the series finale. Like it felt like they knew what was happening. It was the wedding between Jake and Amy.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the normal utter chaos and insanity that surrounds those characters.
So it was a great episode.
It was a beautiful episode.
Now this, you touched on it. It felt like they knew what was going to happen. And I felt like they did know what was going to happen because how can you one day say the show's going to be cancelled, the next say that's going to be picked up by NBC and still have everybody having renewed their contract or whatever gets involved in moving it and continuing on with a show like that to another network. And I know that you said it already had a connection with NBC.
Yeah, it's produced by Universal.
That's right.
So Universal already had all the contracts and stuff. It was only really the broadcaster that bailed out on it. Yeah, so it's just shifting it across. But it very much felt, well, Michael Schur, the creator of that and Good Place and everything like that. Yep. He likes to end his show seasons. If you look, Parks and Recreation, every single season of that show, the last episode could be the last.
Yeah,
episode
that's
of
true.
The show.
Yeah, yeah. Now that you pointed out, yeah,
it's kind of his style. He likes to do that.
Even the first season, I remember.
Brooklyn Nine-Nine's a bit different because a lot of seasons end with someone being sent off to jail or witness protection or something like that. But this one was they quite clearly knew. It didn't stop them from ending on a cliffhanger.
Great.
Holt refuses to open his email as to whether or not he's been promoted to be commissioner.
Amazing.
So it ends on he reads the email in front of everyone and then he just literally goes, well, I believe by the look on my face you can all tell what the result was. I'm like, no, we can't tell us. And then it cuts to black. So, you know, there's a nice potential positive thoughts if the show didn't continue of, you know, the show has such an optimism about it that everyone would assume that he got the position and moved up.
I'm so glad that it is continuing.
Yeah.
It's a show that has gotten a lot of publicity in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, their guest stars for the next season are all lined up.
If Oprah's not in there, I'll be shocked.
I'm surprised.
Almost Oprah level.
Well, I'm surprised Lin-Manuel Miranda hasn't been on the show yet because he's such a big fan. But everyone's talking now whether he'll be Amy's brother or something.
Oh, that'd be nice.
Yeah,
yeah,
they're
going
to find
that.
A way to get him in there. I want him to play a bad guy. He always plays such a nice guy. It'd be cool to
go
as
a guy. Maybe
he
wants to be the bad guy too.
Yeah.
For a bit of fun.
Well, he's gone on record at saying that if he was going to be in any Marvel movie, his dream character is Carnage, who's the racist serial killer hillbilly version of Venom. Red suit, turns his hands into knives and axes and this sort of stuff, and just serial kills for fun.
Sounds like a real gentleman.
Yeah. Then over on Arrow, they knew it wasn't their final season. They knew they were going to get picked up and stuff like that. So this is the first season that didn't end with the season big bag being bumped off.
Huh.
So there's more to come.
Did it feel strange because of that reason, or was it the story still super compelling?
It felt a little bit odd, but more odd because he outed himself as Green Arrow to the press.
Really?
And is now in jail.
Oh.
So they finally get. There's been a movie that's floated around in Hollywood for about 10 years, a DC film called, I believe it was going to be called Supermax, but it was Green Arrow, who's basically Hawkeye, no powers, bow and arrow, locked up in a Supermax jail with all the supervillains he'd put away.
Yep.
And both trying to survive and finding a few good ones to put together a team to break out.
Oh, Prison Break.
Yeah. So if they can do Prison Break meets Arrow, I'm so down with that.
Yeah.
For the next season.
Look, Prison Break's back. It's a popular show. Let's get a movie loosely based around it. Loosely.
Very loosely. That was cool. There was a death. I won't say whom for any listeners that haven't caught up yet. The Flash finale will be out tomorrow. I'm looking forward to that. Gotham finale happened the other day. And that was an odd one because it's been picked up for another shortened half season.
That's right.
To wrap up the show. And this one, unlike the others, did not feel like they were ready for it to be the end. The last few minutes are introducing new characters like Man-Bat.
Interesting.
Who is a humanoid bat.
So more Batman than Batman.
Yes. He's the flip. All of Batman's best villains are somehow a mirrored version of either Bruce or Batman, and he's the animalistic side. A little bit of that, some weird, creepy ventriloquist doll stuff, which might be Toy Man or Dollface, or there's a few different characters could be.
They're always creepy, though.
Yes. And the police and everything have had to leave Gotham, and it's been closed off, similar to in The Dark Knight when the Joker takes over a lot of the city.
Yep.
Or Dark Knight Rises as well, where Bane blows up the bridges so everyone's trapped in, and it looks like the next short season will be the villains taking over separate boroughs of the city and being controlled, so there'll be, Poison Ivy's area or Mr. Freeze and this sort of stuff.
Sounds like the beginning of a video game.
Very much so. Very much so.
Clear the areas.
Feels like that. So anyway, I'm 100% certain that we will see the kid who's now a young man become Batman properly.
Yeah, nice.
He's already worn Kevlar and gone out and fought and this sort of stuff, but not had the full transformation.
One
so we'll
step.
See that shakedown. And then finally, the S.H.I.E.L.D. finale. Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Big. This was, they thought this was going to be the end. And this has been a really big season that they've built up to the world being blown up and being destroyed.
Damn.
And they were
hey,
in the future. Well, they were in the future on a spaceship when Earth had blown up, and so they have to go back in time and find the one thing to stop that happening and stuff like that. And it builds and builds. There was a very major character death. I won't say exactly who.
But it was a shock for you?
No, they've been.
Judging by the face, you're either devastated or shocked.
It's more that I'm impressed by the ballsiness to go through with it. They've been teasing it and alluding to it all season.
Okay.
And instead, it's a wonderful send-off.
Yeah.
Actually, there were two character deaths, but one of them, the person who died, we know is currently. Is the version that travelled back from the future.
I love how you're trying desperately to make this spoiler-free.
I'm trying to make it spoiler-free, but also make it make sense without having watched 10 hours for context. Of all the time travel stuff, one of the characters didn't travel to the future, and he'd stayed behind, so he locked himself in stasis for 90 years to try and save them in the future with the knowledge.
Okay.
And so it was that version that came back to the present with everyone.
Right.
And he died, but they can go and presumably find this lighthouse that he'd locked himself up in.
Yep.
And get him out from there, because you now don't need to go to the future because that timeline didn't happen because time isn't set.
And that's around the time where people's heads explode because there's too much time swapping and changing.
Yes. But, yeah, it ended with a beautiful send-off to a few characters, and it's very much a, I won't say new guard, but a young guard. A lot of the older characters have moved on.
And how long is this final mini season?
Well, they haven't said exactly how many episodes, but they have said it's not coming back until mid-season, like this time next year. So that will be after Avengers 4.
Right. Okay. Yep. Okay.
So I spent the last 5 minutes of the episode waiting for dusting.
Yeah.
Because there were a lot of talks and references throughout the episode of Thanos and that stuff happening.
Yeah.
But that thing didn't happen. I fully expected it would. So presumably it's going to happen during the off season.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Speaking of Thanos, did you see the hashtag explain a film plot badly? It was on Twitter for a while.
Yes.
There was one that was explaining Infinity War.
Hit me with it.
Single father tries to end world hunger with his rock collection.
Nice.
I saw that one. That's earlier very solid. This week. Yeah, it was quite good. What else have you been watching? Was that the big four?
That was the big four.
So
as I say, we got Flash. Next week I'll cover off Flash and Timeless.
Okay, Timeless, yes.
Which may be the series finale. We'll see. It's been saved once.
I watched a Netflix show called Safe. Now, this is based off Harlan Coben's book, I assume of the same name.
Right.
Which is one of the big sort of murder mystery cop drama books that people love.
Okay.
And I know that we do have listeners who are really into those sort of season long, who killed this person?
Sure.
You wait till the end and it slowly builds up. This was interesting though, because I was sure that Harlan Coben was American, and he is, but this show is based in England. And the reason that was confusing is because Michael C. Hall plays the main character. He plays Tom. He does an amazing English accent.
This is what I've heard. I read about it. I haven't heard it out loud yet, but I read that his stuff's good.
You would not realise if you were not aware
accent
of him.
Is it? Is he loving a governor?
It's not like that, which is what they usually is it? It sounds, I don't even know whereabouts in England he sounds. He's a surgeon, so he's quite posh, but it's not the posh accent.
Ew.
But he's obviously had a trainer.
Sure.
Because I think if you are from England, and maybe you can let us know if you are, whereabouts his accent is, because it sounds regional-ish.
Yep.
But basically, I'm going to have to spoil maybe the first 15 minutes of the episode just to give you the plot line. But if you watch the trailer anyway, it does that. His daughter goes to a party and she doesn't come home.
Right.
And her boyfriend, who is at the party, is missing as well.
Okay.
Don't know if it's a murder mystery yet.
Could
have done a runner. We don't know. All it is that these two teens have gone missing, and there's strange little people covering things up and whatnot. You're like, are you covering up for you? Are you covering up for them? What's the story? Watched a couple of episodes and really into it, and I know that the people who are heavily into murder mysteries like this are going to love this show.
And this is one where they've said it's just one season, correct?
It has to be. It absolutely has to be. There's no way that you'd be able to take it any further. But at the same time, maybe they can do a Harlan Coben series where each season is a completely different story.
Sure, like an anthology.
A bit like True Detective tried to do. Yeah, so anyway, I've gotten through a couple of episodes. I'll definitely continue and watch the whole season. There's only eight, I think.
Okay, so yeah, nice. That's easy.
Definitely doable. Yeah. And on Netflix, so if you've got Netflix, you can watch it. I'm almost towards the end of the stuff that I've watched that it would be safe to put in the pre-spoiler segment of this podcast. But I am going to mention Handmaid's Tale outside of the spoilers because
That's unusual.
I just don't want it. I don't want to give a spoiler rundown of it.
Okay.
This episode. So I know a few people are a little bit behind in it. All I'll say is that last week I said that there had to be her feeling freedom and then getting caught back into the world again and feeling like there's no way out. And that's sort of what we got in this episode, but there has to be hope as well. And I'm interested to see what next episode's going to be. This one was amazing, and they kicked her while she was down big time. Okay. There was a big part in the episode where you're like, oh, that's not only horrible for her, but several other people. That's really quite icky.
Mm.
Yeah, quite icky. So we'll see where that continues. There was a new character that came into it that I thought, I've seen her before, and I couldn't pick it, and the voice was similar and everything. She's one of the characters from that one season only 90s nostalgia Netflix teen show called Everything Sucks.
Sure.
I was talking
about earlier
this year. She's in Handmaid's Tale now. Okay. So she landed on her feet, but nice. She's in that. This season is amazing, and it, like I said, has gone far beyond where the books ever went. So it's all uncharted. The book, I should say, it was only one. So it's uncharted territory for everybody.
Nice.
Such a good show.
Nice.
Pressing.
Yeah.
But really good. I think we're going into spoiler mode now. Far different to the one last week.
Spoiler alert. In 3, 2, 1. You have been warned.
We watched this episode of Fear the Walking Dead when we've only got to wait a fortnight, I think, for the next one, which is good, because it did shock me when they said, won't be one next week. I really am liking this season of Fear the Walking
Dead. So much better.
It's so much better than Fear the Walking Dead, and it's so much better than The Walking
Dead.
Oh,
yeah.
It's really good. I like the whole jumping back and forth, which I know The Walking Dead has done before in time, but for some reason I feel like it works better in this.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like they're leading up to – I know they are leading up to what exactly happened with the stadium, but it doesn't feel like they're keeping all their cards close to them until the end, which is what a lot of Walking Dead seasons seem to do. This one gives you bits and pieces of people's lives and worlds pre, after, before, where we are in the storyline. And Jenna Elfman's character, we finally found out a little bit more about her.
That's some messed up stuff.
Super messed up.
Imagine locking up your daughter to go and get medicine, coming back, finding out that she turned and taken out the whole community.
Yeah, bit everyone.
Whoops.
Yeah, I thought we might have seen her daughter, but we didn't. I guess she was spared that for now.
For now.
Yeah. Mm. She's still running away.
Yep.
Why does she always want to escape when people like Madison are saying, you can go anytime. No one's holding you here.
Yep.
Yet she still wants to do an escape, leaving people in the lurch, or just go.
She doesn't seem big on people skills.
No.
Unusual for a nurse.
It's really weird. And she sort of goes between it, because sometimes she will open up.
Yeah.
Not much, though, but open up the warmth, I should say, within her character. But she never opens up about her previous life, as she's constantly running. And maybe that's what how did she get tangled up in the vultures?
I think we're going to find out. Maybe she cut some sort of deal.
She's got a new super badass hairdo.
She does.
Well, she's braided one side of it.
Are you worried about John Dory?
No.
No, me neither.
Because that is almost the exact same death that they gave Nick.
Yeah.
The gunshot wound is, well, it's lower down. I mean, I'm sure he'll be fine because he's right there with the nurse. Alicia just... But she hasn't done this sort of thing before. It's and not out of her character's realms of
no,
what
not at
they
all.
Would do.
Yeah.
She's very reactive.
Yep.
And I don't think she'll feel much remorse. I don't think we should have – I don't think as the audience we should wait for her to go off and say, I'm so sorry with what I did.
Well, it'd be interesting to find out what Laura – is that – what are
Naomi,
we calling it?
Laura.
Naomi – what she did in order to piss them off so much.
Yeah.
Because it has to be something quite sizable for Alicia to just turn around and go, bang.
Well, also remember that they had said to John Dory that she was dead.
Yeah.
She died. So did they think she died?
Sure.
Did she run away? Did she do something to Madison? Because we've not seen Madison. Yeah.
Maybe she let the vultures in.
Maybe she did. Yeah. This season's great. I want the next season to be similar to this one in that we get these introductions of these characters.
Yes. Mix it up. Keep it fresh like that.
The backstories are really good. They're very fleshed out, which is not what you get with later seasons of The Walking Dead.
No. Look, for me, the fact that it's so separated from actual Walking Dead now is a real blessing, because I love the Walking Dead comics and I still enjoy watching the show, but anytime something differs from the comics, I just think about how it's changed. And anytime it's too close to the comics, you just think, well, I've already seen this. So by instead having this where they're introducing crazy cowboy characters and, you know, staff-toting ninja monks that, yes, we've seen in other settings dealing with our dreary guys, but now seems to be mixing just with hopeful characters and he's improved the character dramatically.
So much.
Yeah. So
do you think there are new writers?
There's new showrunners for this series.
Okay. It's really picked up. It really has. And for me now to have to wait 2 weeks, where usually I'd be like, oh, well, that's okay. I'll have a breather, not a problem. Week. But now I'm like, oh, no, I'll actually think I'm going to miss it.
Well, you know what you should do next Monday?
What?
Watch Westworld twice.
In a world that time forgot. We are the Watchers.
Okay, so you're caught up?
Yeah.
Great episode.
Great. You watched yesterday?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So I apologize to everyone, but I had not seen last week's one by the time we recorded last week. That was a great episode. You did a great job of not giving anything away. Well done. Even though we were in spoiler warning area.
We were. I didn't want to give it away because it was too enjoyable for me.
It was
watching
very lost.
It was, wasn't it?
Yeah. Right down to, and I've read about this, the very first shots of James Delos when he's in that lab area.
Yeah.
Him putting on a record, jumping on an exercise bike, fixing his breakfast whilst listening to pop music, which is exactly how Lost Season 2 starts.
Interesting.
Like shot for shot.
Interesting.
And yet the director said she'd never seen Lost and that was completely unintentional. But there were a lot of things in that episode that took me back to Lost.
Isn't that interesting?
Lots of shots of cyclical things in motion, which was a big running theme of Lost.
I feel like she wouldn't have been lying because what does she have?
There's nothing to gain from lying
about
that.
There's nothing to gain. I mean, if you did watch it, you could have said, I just thought that was a brilliant way to introduce and maybe just do a little reference to a show that I loved. Yeah. But that's very interesting. And what a completely different part of this Westworld universe we were given last week.
That's it. Last week we got the so much backstory on the antagonists and Delos. A clearer understanding of what they're trying to achieve and what the long-term goals are. And then this week, oh boy.
I actually thought I thought last week was amazing, and then this week we were back in into the, what would you call it, Westworld again, but learning about this new area.
Shogun World.
So good.
So awesome.
Japanese. I must say, Thady Newton, well done with the Japanese.
Yeah.
That was amazing.
Yeah.
She did an amazing job. And she is quickly becoming my favorite character.
I prefer her over Dolores so much. I've had enough of Dolores.
Well, Dolores, in fact, this episode, when they would cross back to her, I'd go,
I'm wondering if Dolores is still just playing out her Wyatt programming where she had that character of the ruthless killer because she seems like she's got free choice, but she could still be following a script where Maeve is learning.
There's more awareness in Maeve.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like that learning to have compassion for someone else going through the same situation. That's robot movie good guy 101.
And I love her little mind tricks.
Yeah, it's a bit scary. Full carry.
So cool. Also a bit extreme when they found out that the witch, which is what they call her in this feudal Japanese world, could talk people into killing themselves. So they just burnt off everybody's ears so you couldn't hear anything.
Very clever.
Full on though.
It was very Jean Grey from the X-Men with that mind control, being able to blast out and get everyone.
I now am going to assume that her Japanese counterpart, whose name I can't remember right now, it's not Sakura, it was the other one.
Anake?
Yeah, something like that. Started with an A, I just can't recall it now. But I would like to see her open up awareness for her, Maeve open up awareness for her, and then you've got two big powerhouses just going through the different worlds. Bang, bang, bang.
But
bang.
I don't know if she, like, I hope she will, but she offered that to her.
And she
Maeve,
said, please,
and she
no.
She said no, and that was Maeve's big moment of, you know, you compare that over to Dolores forcibly erasing Teddy.
Yep.
You know, Dolores claims to be fighting for freedom, but it's only when it's convenient for her.
That's right.
Whereas Maeve is learning genuine freedom.
Yeah.
And that's, I thought it was beautiful. I'm very worried for Lee, the copywriter.
Yeah, he's been on borrowed time for an awful lot of time.
He went and grabbed that tech phone. Mm-hmm. And that's just, if you're the squirrely comic relief, don't set yourself up.
Someone's going to find it, and that someone's going to be Maeve.
Or the Japanese Hector.
Oh, yeah.
The Ronin.
Yeah.
Who, I think his name is Haruyuki Sanaka.
I've definitely seen him in stuff.
He's in tons of, he was in Lost. He was in the last season of Lost. He was Drogo, the guy in charge of the temple.
Temple,
this sort of stuff. Lots of martial arts movies. Absolute dude.
We've got to get him in more fighting scenes.
Oh, he's now I think he's a recurring character.
Awesome.
So
that's great.
We'll be seeing more of them.
Oh, we still have to see more of the Indian colonial era.
Which
as
is
well.
Called the Raj.
The Raj, okay.
Which is a great name for it.
It is a great name.
I'd be interested to know if the same storylines have been repeated there as
you
well.
You would assume so now. Yeah. Now that you I guess they need to start finding their counterparts. It's such a great show. And if you are listening to this and you have not watched it,
what are you doing?
You've got to watch this show.
It's now twice as good as The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo because there's two girls with dragon tattoos.
It's just an amazing show, and to learn something new every episode but still be left slightly, not confused, but you're still left slightly in the dark about...
I walk away from every episode anxious.
Yeah.
Like my gut is tied up.
In the very best way.
Yeah, in a great way, but yeah, my gut gets all tied up.
Such a good show. Mm. Oh, can't wait for next week. All right, quiz time?
Oh, I'm ready.
This one is based on seasons, so I've got how many seasons did it last?
Okay,
sure. Just a quick disclaimer, some of them are still around.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll do it like that.
Sure.
We'll start off with an old school one, The Goodies.
Three.
Surprisingly more than I thought, nine.
Nine?
Yeah, nine.
Wowzers.
There are some that were in black and white that I don't think as kids were shown.
Sure.
Because, you know, kids of a certain era couldn't watch black and white shows because they were boring.
Mm-hmm.
What about Charmed, the original? Because I know it's come back.
Six?
Close, eight.
Eight.
Went for way longer than
That's
I thought.
That's quite a lot longer.
This one, I'm not giving anything away when I say it went for ages. Law and Order.
Ding, ding. 19?
20. So close.
That was close.
You are getting close. All right, what about the Flintstones? Super old school. Simpsons surpassed it years ago as being the longest running animated show.
I'm going to say 11?
It was only six.
Six.
I thought it was longer. I really did. This is another one that's gone for quite a few years. The Aussie version of Play School.
That's going to be like 45, 50 years or something.
49 years.
There you
49
go.
Years of
That's
Big
a lot
Ted,
of Big
Little
Ted,
Ted,
Little Ted, Jemima and Humpty.
Exactly. What about finally Prison Break?
Well, that's an iffy one.
I'm
technically for a revival series.
Yeah.
Yeah? Is that right?
It's exactly right, 100% right. So basically five seasons of it. And I was looking on IMDb. I was kind of doing a bit of cross-referencing because I didn't want to get it wrong. But they seem to have one slated for next year.
Yeah, Them and 24.
Which is great.
Fox bringing back Them and 24.
Fantastic. Prison Break.
Yeah.
Or Prison Break, as my friend used to pronounce
it. I'm glad it's back. I am sad because it meant that Wentworth Miller was in DC Legends of Tomorrow.
Oh, he was too, with his brother. Well...
Yes, so Dominic Purcell, he's still on the show. He's awesome. He's so good in it.
He's an Aussie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it annoys me that he goes and does the Prison Break stuff because he has a little bit less to do on the show for a few episodes.
It's, yeah. Oh, man. I know what you're doing.
Yeah, you're off doing the thing again and we miss you here.
Well, well done. I think...
I got close on a few.
You got close and you got... Spot on Prison Break.
Sure.
Well done. We'll be back with more quizzing next week. If you do have any quiz ideas, please shoot them in our direction.
Yeah, they're fun.
Sometimes we're completely blank and have to come up with ones at the last minute. That'll do it. We will talk to you next week. Thank you, Tom.